Welcome back, everybody. And of course, we always like to have you check us out on Facebook. And where else, Donald?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
TheValleyOutdoors.com. And stay tuned, because what do we got coming up, Don? Special little fun thing coming up.
We got a fun event that we're working on here, and it's going to be coming real shortly. So yep. Stay tuned.
That's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. Fish with us, and we'll have details coming up. And speaking of fun, Mr. Fun, I'm going to call him Mr. Fun. Mr. Knowing all of the stories inside and out, Mr. Rob Driesline from Outdoor News. Good to have you with us, Rob. And you've got a, what would you call it, a basket full or a truckload of things going on in the outdoors right now?
Yeah, I mean, we got a one-party rule at the state capitol. And, I mean, say what you want. You don't have to like one-party rule, whatever the party may be. But when you have one-party rule, a lot of things usually happen. You know, you may not like it, but it's different than when you've got split, you know, a legislature yep. that's split, and every, you know, year after year in my column I've been ranting about gridlock and how nothing got done. Well, I can't write that this year. There might be a couple things I don't like, but a lot happened at the state capitol, including a lot of outdoors things this year.
Pretty amazing. And let's go down the list. Red Lake is a highly contested piece of the legislature, or the concept that's going on right now, the thought processes that are going into it. We talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago, Don.
Yeah.
And fill us in. What's going on with that?
Okay, so that's actually one thing that doesn't really involve the legislature, but that's fine. That broke this week, and it's a big story. The Red Lake Band declaring that they want to take 30 elk. They want to kill 30 elk. They want to permit hunters to take 30 elk from the band up there. You know, that's as many permits as the state issues per year. In fact, most years the state issues fewer than that.
Exactly.
So that was a pretty big story. And early this week, DNR Commissioner Sarah Strohman sent Al Pemberton, the Red Lake Nation band, I think he's the head of the band up there,
yep.
a letter saying, hey, you know, we kind of adjusted our permits down because we thought you folks were going to issue 10 permits, not 30. We're actually worried about what this could do to the elk population up there. And that's my beef. I mean, so many Minnesotans don't even know we have an elk population.
I know.
And I think it's incredible. And I wish we'd let that herd grow so that, you know, maybe someday could be 1,000 elk up there. And every year the band could take 100 and the state could take 100. Wouldn't that be great? You know, our moose population is declining. Wouldn't it be great if we yep. could grow that elk population?
It'd be fantastic. And what a great concept to do it, you know, because once you're able to get the population to a certain point, then mm-hmm. you can have a nice, sustainable harvest and everybody's going to be happy. And right now it's like there's slim pickings for everybody. And then you have this going on.
Right, right. And you got the Fond du Lac band who just got money from the legislature to move some of those elk. Oh, they want to start a herd in northeastern Minnesota. So as I said at the end of my column this week, it's like everybody loves these elk. Everybody wants these elk. Why don't we all get our heads together and actually try to, you know, build the herd for the good of everybody?
I love the idea. But the problem is it doesn't ever seem to work that way. You can't get people to have a conversation that makes sense. It doesn't work. Hopefully it will.
Often that's the case, yeah.
hopefully it will. All right, the other one that interested me, two-line fishing proposal.
Yeah, that's one of the policy items that emerged from the legislature here just this week. It was something that really kind of blindsided me. I mean, generally the DNR has been absolutely completely against two-line fishing for inland waters during the open water season. Of course, you can use two lines during ice fishing. But this will be specific to the Minnesota River and the Mississippi all the way up to St. Anthony Falls. You know, you can have two lines on your part of the river down there. This would take it kind of in that inland waters part of the Mississippi. And I think it started with the cat fishermen. You know, the cat fishermen on the Minnesota are saying, we see videos all over the country of guys using a half a dozen lines to catch catfish. We can only use one. I think there's a lot of bank fishing on the Minnesota River.
Yep.
And so the DNR said, you know what, there's not a lot of fishing pressure on the Minnesota. We're going to allow this all the way up to Granite Falls, and it's part of the policy bill, and I'm pretty confident the governor's going to sign off on it, Eric.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think it's a start to, hopefully we can look at having some other two-line areas available in the state. I think it's a good thing. I really do.
Now, I should... tell you that Brad Parsons from the DNR Fisheries, I asked him that, and he absolutely positively insisted this is not a foot in the door for two lines statewide. But I got to think it is, you know, and maybe it might take a few years, but I bet they'll expand that eventually.
I would think they would, without question. Crossbows.
Yeah.
Crossbow thing. You and I talked a little bit about that off air, and I know you're weren't necessarily a fan. You're a purist, obviously, in the archery sense. But the crossbow thing is got legs. There's a lot of people doing it besides just declared handicap or challenge on that side of the fence. So interesting concept.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen. And I'm guessing as soon as this fall, again, another one of policy item in the environment bill that I'm pretty sure Walls will sign off on by this weekend or early next week. Crossbows will be allowed during the regular archery season for anyone of any age and of any health.
Right.
You know, right now it's just for old guys, right? And like you say, folks who can get a permit because of a health situation. But, yeah, this has been controversial. I mean, I come from the archery industry back in the 90s where crossbows was a dirty word. And that's changed tremendously in the past 30 years. You know, you pick up any archery magazine now, you're going to see crossbow content. So, it's going to be a boon for archery businesses here this summer and next year as everybody buys a crossbow, I think.
Well, and again, I think the big thing too is it's not just going out and hunting with it. It's fun to go to the range and shoot them. It's, I mean, pretty
cool. Actually, a crossbow is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It is.
Without question.
For sure. Yeah. I think, and again, you're going to have, I think coming up, I don't remember. Have they got a record book if it's harvested with a crossbow? I don't remember what the...
It's in the seniors
book. Yeah, so BNC would not recognize that. But
no.
there is a crossbow organization I think recognizes crossbow records.
That's cool.
Or, I'm sorry, BNC probably would. Pope and Young
but
would
Pope
not.
And Young will not, yep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I would agree with that. Well, and the big story, I think, from my standpoint, Don, and a lot of us, is the gun control thing. Let's fill us in on what's going on with that.
Yeah, there were a number of items, you know, some including, you know, like higher restitution for possessing a fully automatic firearm, which no one really objected to that. You know, yeah, there's two things. You know, one is this red flag law that I don't completely understand it, but basically it gives the sheriff's department the ability, you know, if someone, you know, points a gun at one of their deputies or something, or is acting out of control, it gives them the ability to confiscate that person's firearm, I think for up to 6 months. I need to read the specific language. These have been expanding around the country. The other thing is the so-called, you know, gun control loophole, or I'm sorry, the gun show loophole.
Gun show loophole.
Yeah, where, you know, when you or I go and buy a firearm now, you've got to go through a background check. At a gun show, you typically don't have to do that. If Grandpa gives you one of his shotguns, you don't have to go through that. This, I think, would extend that background check requirement to gun shows. I haven't read all the language yet, Eric. I don't think it applies to, you know, kind of personal exchanges, you know, like between family members. But we'll break that down in probably next week's Outdoor News.
Yeah, as I was understanding, it would not apply to the family member scenario. But
right.
It, in light of what we've seen that's going on across the country in this last week, it just raises some concerns from my side of it that what is termed or deemed a necessary or viable reason to go and take somebody, you know, go into somebody's house, is it observed behavior, or is it you have to be there to see if they're okay? That's the part that concerns me about that law. I'm not saying
right.
that.
Well, I think it's typically going to be triggered by someone other than the individual,
right?
You know, either a family member or, you know, someone in that's in
law enforcement.
In law enforcement, yep.
And and of course, Don, I painted off the air. We were talking about it, and I said, if somebody raises something and says they're acting crazy or whatever, the part I'm concerned about is maybe it's a disgruntled neighbor or a disgruntled relative or something that somebody is aware that you've got weapons and they feel that I'm going to get back at them. suddenly it turned into a big box of worms.
I think that's what people are concerned about, and I think it'll take a while for this to work through that. You know, what's legitimate or what isn't.
Yeah, we're all looking for ways to try to stop the next mass shooting, right. And I think that's the impetus behind this legislation. But at the same time, people deserve their due process, and that's got to filter out properly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Agree. So those are the kind of the key things going on. Anything big that's standing out that we haven't covered? Because there's a lot to cover.
there was talk, you know, of a ban, of a wolf hunting ban. Now, right now, there is no wolf hunting because of the feds and a court ruling. But once that filters out, we're hoping that the state then will have another wolf hunt like it did 10 years ago. There was language that would have banned wolf hunting via state statute. That did not pass. There was also language to eliminate the state shotgun zone in the southern portion of the state so you could use rifles for deer hunting statewide. That did not pass. That had some momentum until a couple senators said, oh, we'd like to exclude our county. We'd like an amendment to exclude Dodge County and Olmsted County. And, you know, sensible people were like, we either got to do this statewide or keep status quo. We can't have a patchwork of counties that are excluded from, you know, from allowing rifles. That would be a
disastrous
nightmare.
You'd be hunting in one area and walk into a different county and you're hunting with a rifle and it's shotgun only, then you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, I hunt on the Winona-Houston County line. So I conceivably could be required to use a shotgun while a guy across the fence is using a rifle. That's just ridiculous.
Right. Totally agree. No, it's unfortunate because that would have been a nice, I think it would have been okay, but
yeah.
Who knows, here nor there. Well, Rob, certainly we encourage everybody to check out The Outdoor News and sign up for it, doggone it. I signed up for it. It's pretty easy to do. You get your online news. States, it's easy to peruse or follow through the different stories. And I like the format, Rob. You've done a good job. So
You can get it via print or on the website.
There you go. Fantastic. Rob Driesline, Outdoor News. Thanks again, as always, buddy. Appreciate
always it. Fun chat with you. See you.
You bet. We're going to be right back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Always fun talking to Rob. He knows he's got the hand of the pulse of everything.
Of politics, at least in Minnesota. It'd be great to have someone in every state that could share that with
Well,
us.
But he does handle every state because the Outdoor News handles.
Sure he does.
Yeah, and they handle, I mean, I think it's part of Pennsylvania. They do Michigan, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, I think, too.
Well, we'll have to get to brush up on some of the other states, too. Some of the things going on in their legislatures.
And I will say the challenge really, it comes down to what we talked about with the gun control side of it. If you're not from Minnesota, be wary of, as you said it earlier, Don.
Yeah, the red flag law is something that they're looking at on a national level. So
I know.
I mean, it could be coming to a neighborhood near you.
And pieces and parts of other elements that they want to eliminate within the gun side of it. So be aware and be up on what's happening. Follow
you know,
your legislation.
In our case, in the case of Minnesota with the background check, I mean, they do that now in Minnesota.
Yeah,
they don't do it now in all other states. And about the only thing that they'd added it to was in the case of a gun show.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, if you want to hand your firearms down to your kids or your nephew or whatever, or someone within your family, it's still not going to be an issue.
No, I don't see that being an issue. Speaking of not an issue, but it has been. I was just thinking about this. When do deer shed their antlers? A shed hunter's guide. They've been closing a lot of these areas that have been in the past shed hunting like out in
west. Out west, yes.
Out west, they're closing them down, and saying you can't do it anymore. And they would open up certain parks, etc. And you'd have.
Do you know why?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, because you're also spooking the animals in that period of time, and
right.
It's not good. Not good. As well as you're getting some bears that are coming up, waking up. And
it has to do with bothering other wildlife.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to get to the heat of the article. Why do they shed their antlers? Look at annual growth cycle of deer antlers. And one of the gentlemen that owns Conquest Deer Sense has been living with deer. Obviously, when they have the scents, a different scents, they harvest it from the deer. And what happens is a lack of testosterone during the summer, and that's triggered by the photo period, light, and also causes a buck antlers to begin growing. A white-tailed buck needs antlers for several reasons. The bigger, the better. Antlers help a buck establish the breeding rights and defending a territory. The big thing with that is that buck's testosterone levels rise in the summer, which constricts blood flow to the velvet-covered antlers until the sensation in the encourages bucks to rub the velvet off, which is kind of cool. And from that time on, the rut, the buck testosterone continues to rise, and the antlers are obviously securely fixed to the heads where they stay on as long as their does come into heat. Once the breeding is done, the bucks simply do not need the antlers anymore. With daylight and photo period diminishing, the body will decrease testosterone production and the shedding will begin.
So what time of year are we talking? You're talking December, January?
Hang on, I'm getting to it. And it's territory specific. In the Midwest, January to March, plan on older bucks carrying it longer here compared to the Northeast. However, due to more doe fawns reaching a critical 70-80-pound mark that allows them to come into estrus a month after the first rut, keeping buck testosterone high and antlers on. Northeast, January to March, you can expect older bucks to shed before the smaller, younger deer. The rut tends to be quicker, and fewer fawns come into estrus in their first year. Bucks, therefore, typically are needing antlers much beyond the first rut, and therefore will tend to drop a little on the earlier side.
Okay.
So, again, in our area, January to March in the Midwest. So, there's your answer, Don. In a real brief, quick hitter, that's kind of the cool part about it. So, and it's a lot of fun, actually. It's kind of like going morel hunting, kind of.
What I think is kind of cool is they're now training dogs to
look, they are. I was to just going to say that.
For sheds.
Kind of cool. Well, the show went by like it just flew. Yes. Thanks for joining us. We are the Valley Outdoors for Ava, Don, and myself, Eric. We are out of here. Join us next week. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. See ya.